My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
You took a taxi that was driverless.
Yeah, one of the most terrifying experiences of my little life. This was a number of years ago in Las Vegas. I was there for the Consumer Electronics Show, CES. I always talk to you from Las Vegas when I'm there. This was a few years ago when Lyft, L-Y-F-T, started testing them. And obviously we're better than when there's loads of nerdy people like me in town. And so I went up and down the Las Vegas Strip in a driverless car. So you sit in, and I am the world's biggest control freak. I think I just need to say that from the outset. You put in your destination. So that was pre-programmed in. Put the seatbelt on, cross my fingers, said a quick Hail Mary, and off we set.
At what speed would you say?
Again, as a non-driver, I'd say it was probably 30 miles an hour. Now, the thing to note about Las Vegas and the Strip in particular is that there are traffic lights everywhere because there are pedestrian crossing and it's a busy strip of land. So it wasn't going that fast. The max I would say is 30 miles an hour. We were going up. The steering wheel was obviously doing all of the steering.
It was turning and all that, but it was nobody turning, behind it.
It was moving. There was nothing going on. There was no information other than a screen that showed my point of origin and my destination. And that was it. Now, this has become the norm in certain parts of America. The technology has been there for years. The level of autonomy, there are five or six levels of autonomy from, you know, full driver control to assisted driving to fully autonomous. And it goes up and up and up the scale. This was a fully autonomous vehicle.
Now, the reason we're talking about this is that Uber claimed they could introduce that in the UK if they had the legislative framework.
Yeah. So looking at America and what they've done in America, the fact that it's working quite well in certain parts of the states, and again, different services would be vital in terms of the running of that. A lot of taxi companies in San Francisco, for example, would utilize this. Uber is now saying that they could launch it in the UK yesterday. They are ready to go. They are ready to roll. But the government is now saying that it's going to happen potentially in 2027. So we're still 2 years out. Now, the reason for that is there are a number of considerations that you have to take into account. Not only road markings, countering and dealing with emergency vehicles, but then there's also the labour dispute that would happen if you suddenly bring autonomous vehicles to the market.
You can imagine what would happen in Dublin.
Well, what would happen to the taxi today? Obviously, it's great for supply because, you know, the driverless cars, they don't take sick leave. They can be available 24 hours a day. But what's really interesting is Uber at the moment in their driverless cars, the fare is the same. So if I get a car with a human being as a driver, my fare could be £20. If I get a driverless car, my fare would still be £20. So I think, although they're focusing on the technological and the legislative side of this, there's also all of the labour contentions and the big debate that will come. But it's interesting to see, perhaps in the next 2 years, we will have driverless cars on the roads in the UK.
Now, questions coming in. I have an Apple iPhone, and also when the teenagers got their phones, apparently they are all linked. So now when listening to music on the speaker, it keeps cutting out as it's linked to the boys' ear pods. The boys finishing their teenage years and unwilling to investigate. So it's driving us all mad. All iPhones, and I think my Gmail address entered for all when purchased. Please help.
Oh, that's a pain in the face. Unfortunately, there isn't really a very neat solution here. What you need to do is create an Apple ID account for each of your boys. So they need to have their own accounts. Now, the good thing is, I don't know their ages, but say if one, you still want to have a level of parental supervision on it. If you create an Apple ID account for them, you can put parental controls in place. But the only way to stop that...
I think they're beyond that. I think they're just enjoying their mother or father's Spotify account.
Yeah, well, so that's the other thing as well. So if the big issue here is the Spotify, then you need to set up a family account, give everybody an allocation. It's more expensive, but it's worth it. But in terms of the Apple thing, if you haven't set up a specific Apple ID for each of your kids, that's a fix there for that.
You mentioned recycling old phones. I have two, but I'm unable to delete any info from them as I cannot see the screen. The screen's gone blank. Mm. Is it safe to recycle them?
Yes, yeah, so you've got a few options here. What you could do is try and connect the phone to a computer. And then what might happen, depending on the condition of the phone, is that the computer will pick it up as a drive, as like a USB stick almost, in which case you'll be able to see the content and delete it. The other option then is just to bring it to a Wii facility and they'll scrap them entirely.
Now, I don't know what this is. A tapo camera?
A tapo camera, okay.
I recently purchased one for my home. I have noticed it doesn't seem to be picking up hybrid vehicles. So
That's very niche. So tapo is it's a security camera. So it's kind of like the Ring doorbell or whatever it is. So it's an outdoor CCTV camera for the home.
No reason why it shouldn't pick up every vehicle.
I as a human would struggle to distinguish between a hybrid vehicle and another vehicle. So I don't know is the honest answer. You know, my brain can't actually comprehend how or why that would be the case. But the way they're designed to work, I have the Google cameras, so you can set it to pick up vehicles, animals. It can distinguish between a dog and a cat. It can recognize familiar faces so that, say, if you walked up my driveway, I know that you're a safe person, so that's okay. I can discount your face and won't get notifications. I don't think there's a rule around hybrid vehicles. I've never heard anything like that before.
I need to replace a Dell laptop using Windows 7. What laptop would you recommend? And would it be Microsoft Windows 11? If I don't transfer files, could I still use my old laptop with Windows 7?
Okay, a few different points here. So a new laptop with Windows 11, all machines now are shipping with Windows 11. I would highly recommend it. I use it on my laptop and it is great. It depends on what you want to do and the budget you have. But the Lenovo IdeaPad is always a solid bet for me. Asus and Acer are also great if you're at the lower end of the budget. In terms of using programs that are on your Windows 7 machine, it depends on the license. So if you've downloaded, say if you download a specific piece of software that is compatible with Windows 7, there's no guarantee that it will work using, you might have to repurchase it for it to be compatible with Windows 11. So what I would do is go into a store, talk through the software requirements that you have, and then ensure or find out, I suppose, what will transfer across. So say, for example, you're using Google Drive. You just log in on Google and you get all that information there. But for me, I use a program called Adobe Audition, for example. There is a version, an older version, that would work on a Windows 7 machine.
And would not a newer work version. On 11.
Exactly. Okay. So you need to be wary of that.
How can I check if my phone has been hacked and therefore how to remove the hack?
Oh, I'd love to know why you think it might be hacked. What I would say is you can download AVG, which is a free antivirus check that will check for viruses. In terms of hacks, the level of sophistication of the majority of these they're so high that even, you know, someone who's mildly aware of cyber attacks, ransomware attacks and all that kind of stuff would struggle. You need to get into the very basis, that the sort of the heart of the phone, the core of the phone, to identify it. If you have any concerns, get onto a cybersecurity company. But I don't think you or I would be able to identify it with our naked eye.
All right, Jess Kelly, thank you very much for all of that. And that is all we have time for. A reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on Newstalk.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.